We are here to have a little talk with Billy Long from the Subways. Hi, Billy. How is going?
Hi, Eleonora. I'm great. How are you doing?
Hi, thanks. I'm fine. Welcome to Radio Città Aperta. So, because the English band is now on tour for the last album, Uncertain Joys, and they're going to play in Italy on Saturday 1st in April in Milan at Legend Club, and on April 2nd on Sunday in Roncade, Treviso, at the New Age Club. So, how do you feel about it, and how is it going so far?
We are so excited to be back in Italy again. I cannot express to you how excited we are. The tour has been going so amazingly. We've played in Germany, Poland, Czech Republic, Austria, and now we're in Slovakia. So it's all happening. We're having a great time, and just great to be back on tour again after so long.
Perfect, perfect. So let's talk about your brand new album, Uncertain Joys, which came out in January 2023. It consists of 12 tracks and it was preceded by the single Black Walks. And now the new single homonymous to the record. So which is the main theme of the album? What does Uncertain Joys mean?
So I actually got the title Uncertain Joys from a lyric in a Sarah Dixon poem. And I'm a big fan of 18th century literature. And the poem itself is about the discord between life here in the finite world and life thereafter in the infinite world. And the tension between that and the discord. Just to do with real kind of like imperfections. And I think what I was doing when I was writing the album, I was looking at all my flaws, all my personal flaws. And you know, I think we're all trying to be better people on a day-to-day basis. We're trying to in some way attain that sense of perfection, I suppose, which can be unhealthy, but it can also have healthy elements to it. So a lot of the songs deal with personal flaws and overcoming them and trying to become a better person. The title track off the album, Uncertain Joys, which is our new single, is about a breakup and wanting to be a good person during the breakup process. So, it's about imperfection, I suppose, but taking joy in the imperfection at the same time.
Okay. So are there any new music techniques that you use for recording this album?
Yeah, definitely. I recorded this album in my new studio in North London. And we decided to introduce synthesizers to our makeup. So rather than just being drums, bass and guitars and vocals, we added some keyboards, some synthesizers, and I'm a big fan of synthwave music and 80s synth pop, so it was really nice to introduce all that stuff.
Perfect. So what about the music videos for this record so far?
The music videos, we kind of just had a lot of fun with them, really. I mean, the video for You Kill My Cool was in a tiny little room during the pandemic, which was really difficult to shoot. And then Love Waiting On You was an animated video, which kind of looks like a Mario Brothers game. the video for Black Wax was us playing in a theatre, an Art Deco theatre, in a kind of 1920s style dress-up. And the Uncertain Joys video is really just about like looking at the different kinds of discord that happens in relationships and the tension between wanting somebody and needing somebody but being separated from them. So we had some actors in that video, which was really cool.
Yeah. Okay. So it's been a while since your last record, The Subways, which came out in 2015. What's changed?
Well, so much has changed, and it's been such a long time since our previous album. We're very aware that we've been away for 8 years, and we're just sort of reintroducing ourselves with this new album. But, you know, Charlotte, our bassist and singer, she's a mum now. She's got two wonderful children.
Wow.
I got a degree from Cambridge University,
okay.
Which was loads of fun, but also really hard work.
Sure.
And we have a new drummer. My brother, Josh, our ex-drummer, decided that he wanted to leave the band to pursue different musical endeavours. So we employed a fantastic drummer called Camille Phillips, who used to play drums in a Ramones cover band.
Wow.
And we thought, oh my God, she's so cool and she's so good at drumming. And as soon as we played our first rehearsal with her, Charlotte and I were just like, she's the one. She's awesome. So, yeah, so now we have two women in the band and just one man, which is great.
Brilliant. So, what about English festivals? Because you played a lot in those, starting with Glastonbury Experience, you know, and continuing with appearances in Reading, Leeds, 2003 and so on, if I remember correctly.
yeah. So, we're looking to do some small festivals this year, which will be great. We're doing those both in the UK and over in Europe. But we're kind of saving our energy for next year. And hopefully we'll play Glastonbury and Reading and Leeds and all those festivals next year.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, we much prefer to play the European festivals.
Okay.
You know, we love being in Europe. It's one of the greatest things. So we like to book as many European festivals as we can possibly get.
Uh-huh. Okay. So your website is really central in your music work, and it was in your music career since the beginning, because when you started in 2002, you had no money to go on a record studio, right? So you started recording songs at home and put them on the website, right?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Did I interrupt you there?
No, don't worry. It's okay. I think it is really, you know, like punk attitude or something, like you connect with the DIY things.
Yeah, very DIY. You know, we were very keen from the very early days to create a kind of community around the band. Rather than just, you know, playing London shows and handing out CDs there, we knew that it was really important for people coming to our gigs to get to know each other and to communicate with each other and also to communicate with us, you know, to let us know what they think of our new music and to make requests about our set list choices and that kind of thing. And the wonderful thing about all of that is that now we're learning that the people who met up on the forum and met up through the website, they're now, you know, such great friends. Some of them have even got married and had children together. So, you know, it feels like there's always been this fundamental central community as part of the band.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just within the UK as well. It was, you know, in Belgium, in Germany, in France as well, in Poland. So, you know, we know some couples where one person's Polish and one person's English. And, you know, the English person has gone over to live in Poland and you know, they raise children there. I know one couple who now live in Brighton, but they met on our forum.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's German and one of them's English. And they, you know, they're sharing a wonderful life together. And they're constantly saying, thank you for bringing us together.
Wow.
And it's always just, you know, that stuff kind of outlives the music, I think. You know, the music is so important. But I think, you know, community and love and friendship and all that stuff, that's what life is really about, I suppose. And that we've managed to create that amongst a group of people is something that I can't quite get my head round because it's just so profound, you know. But it's more than anything, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. One of the most beautiful things to me was that your home recording system was shared with other local bands in your area.
Yeah, that's how we got to know about the Glastonbury competition in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't afford to record at our local recording studio because we were just kids. So I begged my dad to invest in an 8-track recording unit. And in order to pay for that, I would record my friends' bands and local bands really cheaply.
Okay.
Mainly, I'd just say, bring round some beer, you know, and I'll record you. And I asked one of the bands that came in to record, you know, what do you plan on doing with the CD once I finish mixing the songs? And he said, there's this thing called the Glastonbury competition, and we're going to send it off to that because, you know, they accept unsigned bands.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, we've got 7 demos. We should do that too. So I sent our demo off, and, you know, we managed to book the gig at Glastonbury, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
But that all came from, you know, the community that was being established by the necessity of me having to pay my dad back for this recording unit that we bought, which I don't think I ever paid back, actually.
Okay. So you all came from Welwyn Garden City in Herefordshire. So how was the music scene when you started? And now? How about now?
Yeah, well, when we first started in Welwyn Garden City, there was, like, no music scene whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, these bands just started forming. And there was this pub called the Doctor's Tonic.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, this function room that was not being used at all, we decided to turn it into a venue. So we started booking acoustic sets on Thursday nights, and that ended up being, you know, opened up to electric sets on the weekend. And because you have this space for people to come and watch music and to play music, people would start forming bands all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time we started playing London and then we went off on tour and signed a record deal, there were so many bands that were that were forming in Welwyn Garden City. It was just extraordinary to see that how that blossomed. But unfortunately, because we have a very conservative government in the UK,
yeah,
they decided to close down a lot of the art centres.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the lack of funding, a lot of the venues and bars and clubs have been shut down. So that's a real shame. That's very upsetting. One of my favourite all-time venues called The Square in Harlow, that was shut down about 7 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of my pledges is that if I ever make enough money, I want to rebuild The Square brick by brick because it was just reduced to rubble. It was demolished. They were going to build some luxury flats on top of it, mm-hmm, but eventually, you know, that never came about. So now, 7 years later, there's still just this big pile of rubble. And if I can get enough money, me and a few friends are going to rebuild that venue brick by brick.
Yeah, yeah. In England, the music scene was really strong instead of the other countries. So this is a real hard speech, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we in the UK pride ourselves on, you know, our music heritage. So to see kids not being given the opportunity to carry on that heritage by learning to play instruments and form bands and write their own music is a really sad thing. So it's going to take a lot of work to rebuild that, I think.
Yeah. How about your influences like in the past? And what do you listen currently?
So the main influences that we started out with were Nirvana,
mm-hmm,
and Blondie and Green Day, and surprisingly Kylie Minogue.
Okay.
Madonna. Yeah, I grew up on Madonna. I have 2 elder sisters, so
wow,
they were always playing Madonna, so I know every Madonna song. So, you know, when we first started learning our instruments, we were covering Nirvana and Green Day and Blondie. Not so much Madonna. And from there, you know, those influences grew. We fell in love with the White Stripes and Von Bondi. And Ladytron, you know, because we love synth music as well. And I'm listening to so much synth music at the moment. I'm currently listening to a fantastic synth pop duo called Cat Bear from London. They are so remarkable. I think that Zoe, the singer and songwriter, is close to genius. She's so fantastic at songwriting. And, you know, they sent me a song on Twitter in 2017. And they said, you know, we're big fans of the band. Can you let us know what you think of this song? And I said, well, this is incredible. It's one of the best things I've ever heard. Please keep making music. So, you know, every year they would send me another song and say, what do you think? And I'd say, it's an amazing song. Again, keep making music. And this year, we decided to book them for a support slot on tour. And they've never played a gig before, so they were really panicking. But they played their first gig on tour with us, and it was just so incredible. I felt like a proud dad watching them play. But I'm listening to them on rotation at the moment. I'm listening to a lot of Magdalena Bay. They're an LA-based synth-pop duo, again. But, you know, I like to listen to the Bronx. I like to listen to the Ramones.
Okay, thank you. So we remember to the audience that you're going to play on Saturday 1st in Milan at the Legend Club, and on Sunday 2nd in Roncade, Treviso at the New Age Club. Then you will go to Germany, and then any future plans?
So I actually have my own studio, as I said before, where we recorded on Certain Joys. The day we get back, I am in the studio recording a young up-and-coming band called The Molotovs. So that'll be fun. And I'm going to get writing on album 6. And we're really looking forward to our festival appearances this summer. And we're looking at booking some more tours for the end of this year and for next year, early next year. So we are just very eager now to as much as we can, just because we've missed it so much. It's been such a long time, and there really is nothing quite like being on that stage and going crazy and jumping up and down and getting hot and sweaty and seeing all those smiles on the faces in the audience. It's just the best feeling. So tour, that's what we want to do.
Okay. So last question for you, Billy. Thank you very much. What do you think about politics and social themes in the songs, in the music, you know, because we are from two very political and social countries. So I think music is an instrument to spread these social and politics ideas.
Absolutely. I think music is a fantastic way for people to speak about their own political views as a means to creating positive change in society. You know, I grew up on Rage Against the Machine. So, you know, politics is so important to the content of their songs, and you know, the righteous anger that they all feel at the injustices in America are woven into the very fabric of their songs, and you can hear it in the drums, the bass, the guitars, and Zach De La Rocha's vocals. So I'm a firm believer that if you have a political opinion, particularly if it's a positive, inclusive message, that be portrayed through music. I know that a lot of my own personal beliefs were shaped by the music that I listened to. You know, I'm the person I am now today because of Kurt Cobain and Nirvana and the politics that he represented both in his music and in interviews. He was a very inclusive, considerate, compassionate, empathetic, liberal-minded person who knew about gender fluidity, who knew about LGBTQIA plus rights, about the rights of communities of colour, about misogyny that occurs in both in the rock industry and out on the streets in society. So, you know, my feminist self is very, very much inspired by the messages of Kurt Cobain. So, yeah, you know, if there are any bands out there who want to speak their message, their positive message, music is a fundamentally beautiful way to present that to your audience.
Yeah, and it's eternal. So,
yeah.
So, thank you very much for your time, Billy.
Thank you, Eleanor. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
For me, it's been a pleasure, and see you in Italy for the subway tour.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. All the very best to you.
Thank you. For you too. Thank you. Bye, Billy.
Bye-bye. Shirley Manson, Fiona Apple, Aretha Franklin.